American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting from the Internet for Monday, June the 7th, 2010. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This can be a free podcast. Well, it can be a free podcast. You better be a free broadcast, because if somebody charged you money for this, well, I want to know about it. But anyway, you can get it for free on Rand Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night at 7 p.m. We broadcast in Second Life, Node Archers, Grid 15574666. And tonight we have hanging out with us Anastasia, Legion, Anthony, Agent, Dak, AOI, Don, Ice Hawk, Aid, Caroline, Kimmy, Max the Token Cat, Plump Dragon, Rashok, Northman, Sejan Nightfire, Sophia, Numina, Spider Mike, TechCraft, who's got a wonderful after show party happening in Second Life for his new album Monster, which if you want to go, you want to definitely check that out. So, TechCraft's new album, Monster, coming out after this show, which is like 2 days ago for those of you who are listening in internet world, and probably months ago for those of you who have downloaded this in the future. Also, after TechCraft, we have Tenshi Gothi. Not that he, she, it is any better or worse than TechCraft, it's just a spelling thing. And let's not forget that we're a broadcast on Radio 99, transmitting on a frequency of 66.73, or 6673.3 kilohertz. And, of course, we have my beautiful and talented co-host, Sumerian, who is just fresh in from fighting pirates. Or, well, being a pirate, anyway. Yar!
That's right. I was away. I was away. No, I was fighting the ninjas, because I'm a pirate.
That's right.
I guess that's how it works, right?
Well, I don't really think that you're really a pirate, though. I mean, you're like, pirates go around and taking other people's stuff. So you go around and looking at other people's stuff, getting good ideas, and then, you know, kind of... So you're actually...
Make my own stuff.
Well, you're kind of a librarian.
I distribute stuff. And I'm an anti-pirate there.
Yeah.
Librarian, so that's more...
You're a librarian, which is kind of like a pirate, only not bad. It's definitely not as sexy as a pirate. Maybe we should make librarian sexy. Well, I mean, arguably speaking, there's a lot of, you know, sexy female librarians, that whole, like, askew glasses thing. That's kind of hot. But I'm just saying, you know.
I'm sure there's an equally separate fetish for male librarians somewhere out there. So,
Absolutely, for sure. And check out how I'm not approaching that. Instead, I'm going to move into feedback. So I got Sean! No Sim on this one. Sean! Last week, you asked...
Bastards.
You asked to know about broadcasting on ham radios. Now, I knew I'd get feedback on this. And wanted a short answer. The short answer is, you couldn't do it. Sounds like a challenge. You don't have to read the rest, but it'd be cool if you did. I would like the logs a bit to know a bit about ham radio, which I don't really know. I mean, who knows? Here's why you couldn't do it. One, as a general rule, ham radio doesn't involve broadcasting to the masses. There are a few exceptions, such as beacons. No music is allowed on ham radio, period. Well, that makes ham radio pretty fucking stupid, if no music's allowed. In fact, the only time that music is allowed is when it's incidental background noise, it's transmission coming from the space shuttle or the space station. No shit. That's in the law books. The hams basically police themselves and run a very tight ship. The FCC could at any time take back their ham frequencies and auction them off for billions to corporations. Hams want to show the FCC that they are worthy of having these airwaves and that they can play by the rules. Lastly, you can't cuss on the air. You cannot swear on ham radios.
I think that's the one that really rules you out. That's why he said you couldn't do it.
Well, you know, and I guess this is the whole reason why I do the pirate radio thing, because there's no way to transmit and the show cheaply and legally. Well, that's not good. Of course, all the WOGs should be hams and get their license. Of course, It's $15 to take the test, and it's insanely easy. And I sneezed. Ha! Do a search for ham radio practice test, and you'll find lots of sites where you can take the test before the real thing. Sean, you're in the military, so I know you understand the importance of communications. When you first get your license, it opens it up to using all kinds of radio equipment and sets a legal limit of 1,500 watts in the U.S., 2,250 watts for Canadian. That makes FRS, GRMS, and CB radios look like little tykes, walkie-talkies on their 0.55 and 4-watt limits, respectively. There are also a lot of ham satellites. You can utilize a repeater board for the... Yeah, but we can't swear. We can't play music. Like, yeah, you can't say anything on there, but boy, you can use satellites to say nothing. There's ham satellites you can utilize on a repeater board, the ISS tracking, weather beacons, long-range wireless nets, powerful repeaters, all kinds of shit. The coolest thing is every year in June, a weekend is declared Field Day, which is at www.arrl.org, Field Day. This basically is a two-day emergency preparedness event that goes on all over the United States and Canada. It's all about using battery and solar power stations, setting up antennas in the field, or just in your backyard. You're getting as many contacts as possible anyway. It's worth it for everyone to have their license, even if you don't use it all the time. Cheers, the Laughing Man. Which I would agree that it is worth it to have your ham radio license, something to look at, you know, could be fun.
Yes, very, very emergency purposes. Mm.
So, I mean, you know, useful. It's kind of, you know, shitty that the supposedly free ham radio has got all these dumb rules on it where you can't transmit music, because God knows that would be bad, unless I'm on the space station. So if I get to space, I can do the show. If they don't like it, they can come up
there
and
convince
me.
There you go. There's
the most expensive arrest.
There's something to aim for. You always wanted a spacecraft anyway, right? So there you go.
Dude, if I could broadcast the show from the space
to get one.
Station, that would be the dopest thing ever. That would be awesome. Like, there's nothing that would... I would turn into that little hamster from the film Bolt. Seriously, it would just be... It'd be stellar. Okay, we got one with your name on it here. Got one with your name on it. Dear Sean and Sim, I was listening to you guys the other day. I believe it was episode 453. Oh, yeah! Episode
that was a good one. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good one, yeah. When you guys talked about the Prozac generation, how great it would be to instead make some drugs that made you creative, inspired, and artistic. Oh, I knew I'd get feedback on this one. Well, there was a Swiss scientist named Hoffman, who in the 40s made a substance that evoked a lot of inactive receptors in the human brain, and after a lot of that, funny things happened. In short, people took it and discovered that war was kind of stupid and started doing something about it, like protesting and saying their opinions and stuff. Also, the best art, literature, and music came in the era of this time. I really don't give a fuck if you mean it's about taste or different opinions. Art needs soul. And without that, well, just flip on the tube and watch. The 60s and 70s was a state of artistic and political evolution. All the great music and art from that period has become legendary. This was the time of awakening, and of course, when people realized that we're being fucked in the ass every day by the government, and the government soon had to ban and forbid it, and make Timothy Leary the most dangerous man in the U.S. So figure that out. So drugs that actually do something for you, mind-openers, doorways to the perception is banned. Left are we, with people shooting up with Prozac, to be able to get in the morning and being mind-raped by fabricated news, corporate-driven politicians, and soulless, spineless, ballless art in the forms of music that has spawned a computer based on last year's summer hits. I would like to quote the legendary comedian Bill Hicks. You never see a positive drug story in the news. They always have that same LSD story. You've all seen it. Today, a young man on acid thought he could fly, jumped off the building. What a tragedy. What a dick. He's an idiot. If he thought he could fly, why didn't he take off from the ground first? Check it out. you don't see these guys lined up to catch elevators to fly south. They fly from the fucking ground. He's an idiot. He's dead. Good. We've lost a moron. Celebrate. There's one less moron in the world. Wouldn't you like to see one positive LSD story on the news? To base your decision on information rather than scare tactics and superstition, perhaps? Wouldn't that be interesting just for once? Today, a young man on acid realized that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. That we're all one consciousness, experiencing it subjectively, and there's no such thing as death, life, only a dream. And we, the imagination of ourselves, here's Tom with the weather. Best regards, Elmer Denke, who I suspect has probably consumed LSD at some point. This was the drug he was reading about so that I didn't write him off halfway through the thing. But that's a crazy email. I enjoy crazy emails like that. There might be some truth in it. So, you know, it's a good email. I like that one. And it makes a statement. Have you ever dropped acid, Sim? You ever done that? You ever dropped acid?
No. That one's a bit too extreme for me.
No acid for you? I've never done acid. I have never done acid. Yeah. It'd be hard to get good acid because, well, where do you get it? from, you know, Joey's cab face on the corner? I don't think so. You know, I'm not getting, you know, if I wanted the silicone dugout, I could go to Mexico City. You know, I'd want to have the really good stuff. But good luck trying to get some, you know, decent, you know, recreational pharmaceuticals without, you know, going to some CD sketchy.
That's right. There's
Well, we interviewed
There's
Frank
no
Hawkins.
Governmental regulations in place or anything. You can't be reassured that it's been laboratory tested or anything. So all you have left is the stuff that's on the street. Sketchy.
Well, remember when we interviewed Frank Ogden in SKTFM.TV? Or not, or pardon me, the Sean Kennedy Show. Which one was that?
The television show, yes.
Yeah, the Sean Kennedy Show. We interviewed Frank Ogden, who, of course, was prescribing acid for alcoholism. He was feeding people pharmaceutical-grade acid. They do one-hit, bang, cured of alcoholism. Pretty insane stuff to hear him talk about it. And he said he'd, like, done acid so much. And if you met the guy, you'd be like, yeah, you've done a lot of acid. You know, really. but, you know, nice guy. Very nice guy. And there's a lot
very
of
very enthusiastic. Yeah.
I don't believe there's actually a hallucinogenic drug that is actually addictive. I think all the really addictive ones are not hallucinogenic. There are, like, you know, there are, as a side effect, there are hallucinations that can start and stuff, but not, you know, game specific, you know, I'm taking this to see the flying monkey. I don't think those are hallucinogenic. And I don't do a lot of drug stories on the show because, well, I figure that the first step is for people to make, you know, decisions for themselves. And from there, they can make their own decisions and get themselves into their own trouble because, after all, you need to be accountable to yourself. Good idea. So let's talk about some straight up news. Some news. We have some surveillance news, of course, from Drill Sergeant. Always good. From where? South Wales. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. I guess this would make it Australia, I think.
This
isn't South Wales, so I believe this is South Wales. The new South Wales government is quietly compiling a mathematical map of almost every adult's face in Australia, sharing information that allows law enforcement to track people by closed-circuit television. Experts said yesterday a few people raised their facial features were being recorded in RTA databases of driver's license photos, so the government has been allowed to both state and federal police access. The federal body, CrimeTrack, has asked NSW for its database so that it can be mined nationally by police using facial recognition information contained in it. University expects the facial recognition said the correct match rate was as low as 90%, meaning all the names of people with faces sharing a similar structure to criminals could be returned in searches. Dr. Caroline Semmer from the University of Adelaide said police wanted to eventually use facial recognition in smart CCTV cameras to allow people to be tracking anywhere there was a camera. In some airports, such as Singapore, employ facial recognition technology. In the U.S., is considering using it at border crossings. Police hope that at some point individuals can be tracked. Professor Samway Arcot from the University of New South Wales, I guess, said a matrix of numbers based on features and the distance between facial structures was derived using an algorithm applied to a photograph of the face. That could be matched over other faces and stored in a database. Now, this is very much Gen 1 stuff, okay? And it's big
at 90% facial recognition. It better be Gen 1. That better not be deployed anywhere. If some criminal has the same database that matches my face and they're out committing crimes and they go, hey, you're out there killing people. Well, the computer says you killed them, and we believe the computer.
Well, this is the nightmare. And more than that, you know, if you can get into the CCTV feed, and you can get a hold of this stuff, which sounds kind of crazy, but realistically, wouldn't this be the ultimate criminal's tool? Like, I know these people aren't home because I tracked them. And people are apparently using that with Facebook and stuff like that. But, you know, if you could get into stuff like this, I mean, the advantage for this to be exploited is pretty sick.
Well,
pretty sick.
Oh,
and
it's huge. Remember that story you did a couple weeks back about being able to change the shape of your face using face paint? And you could manipulate the database so that you could look like somebody else. Not look like somebody else, but register as somebody else in the CCTV cameras.
Oh, of course.
So that it's not you committing the crime, it's your buddy committing the crime.
Or it's going to be, you know, a wonderful way to frame somebody. Right, you go get some hair.
Or a politician committing the crime.
Yeah, well, you get some hair, right? You go get some hair, you plant it in his car, you plant it on his clothes, right? You run around in that region when you actually commit the crime with the proper, appropriate stuff on. Make sure that you know, where the cameras are so that you can come across on camera. So now you've got, you know, he claims he was home in bed with his wife, but we've got, like, five different pieces of evidence that says he was out. And, of course, his wife's going to lie. So suddenly it becomes their word against all this critical, you know, information, blah, 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 blah. So it's a very interesting story and something that we need to be aware of, but I guess Australia is going the way of England, which is not that surprising because apparently their laws down there are sucking pretty big, you know, bag on the whole. It's a pretty horrible situation for freedom down there in Australia. Not so good. You know, have you been coming across anything in Pirate Radio about Australia? What's going on with them?
It's mostly with the they're putting up, like China has, a firewall in Australia. They're trying to get it passed so that they can block all the bad content. Of course, they slip it in with, you know, child porn first, and then, and it's a secret database.
Child porn. We need to stop child porn by stopping images. Which
it's everywhere.
Going to do nothing. It does not stop child porn at all. It stops you from catching child porn. So actually, when they say child porn, they want to help it. Because if you all you do is drive it further underground, you're helping these people. You know, it's kind of sad. But there it is.
Got rid of all the child porn in the internet. Now we can't track them. Yeah. Oh, what do we do now?
Yeah,
well, it's all traded on the dark nets. Good luck invading those.
Yeah,
Go for it.
And you don't think that pedophiles are not, you know, using that stuff right now? If, like, they're serious, they know they're not going to be using... They're not surfing for child porn, okay? Like, come on, give me a break. This is ridiculous. This is totally retarded. In pre-crime news, thank you very much, BB. BB for sending me that story. Drill Sergeant sent me the prior story, but BB sent me this story. If Bob Burns, who's not the guy who sent it to me, that's a different BB. Bob Burns is correct. Terrorists may betray themselves someday by jiggling on a Nintendo Wii balance board, blinking too fast, curling a lip like Elvis, or doing nothing at all. This is scary shit. Burns and his team of scientists are researching whether video game boards, biometric sensors, and other high-tech devices can be used to detect distinct nonverbal cues from people who harbor malintent or malicious intent.
Oh.
We're looking to...
Jeez.
We're looking pre-event, said Burns. The number two... at Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency. Oh, God. So the Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency, a counterpart to the fabled Pentagon Agency that developed stealth aircraft and the Internet. So the Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency is DARPA for Homeland Security. Scary shit. We're trying to detect a crime before it's committed. Okay. And then we have the obligatory Minority Report... reference up. The work on malintent, which has cost $20 million. Think about that for a minute now. $20 million. Okay? That's a lot of money they pumped into this.
Mm-hmm.
And it represents the future in screening, trying to find the bomber, and not just the bomb. Sometimes people look at our projects and say, "This is crazy," conceded Burns, a former submarine weapons officer. Woo! Burns' group is delving into the mind of terrorists. Another Homeland Security agency is studying its face. The Human Factors Division has spent nearly $20 million in experimenting with micro-expressions or super quick flickers of facial muscles that may or may not indicate hostile intent. Researchers are studying 275 videos of test interviews. Well, that's one of them, like, blew themselves up at the interview. Frame by frame, painstaking frame. 30 frames a second, each video 10 minutes long, so analysts can catalog microfacial emotional leakage. Microfacial emotional leakage. This is retarded.
Want that happening.
This is retarded for a lot of reasons. First of all, the people who are, like, suicide bombers, okay, their mindset is so far removed that they don't feel bad about what they're doing. Okay?
They That's think right. They're all for it. They think it's awesome.
Out.
They're going to heaven
kidding?
With 72 virgins. They're all on track and on target. They're doing what they're trained to do.
Yeah. Oh, they're getting the good stuff, right? So they're not going to be all.
Yeah. They're not.
Out, you know.
They're not thinking they're the bad guy. They know they're the good guy.
Yeah. Oh,
they
yeah. For
think
sure.
They're doing the righteous thing. They're protecting their people. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, in their own twisted little fucked up brain. Yeah. I mean, generally they're. All shitbags that need to be killed. But I'm just saying that, you know, and I'm all for that, but you got to kill the right shitbag. But anyway, the need for improvement is clear. Security teams trained to spot suspicious behavior have pulled 152,000 people out of airport lines in recent years, according to a report this month from the Government Accountability Office, the investigation arm of the Congress. Yes, Yeah, we're going to pick one name off this list here at random. Let's see. Mohammed Al-Shakara. Yeah, you're the winner. You know, wow, really? You know, Peter Smith from Delaware didn't get it. It was Mohammed Al-Shakara. Oh, okay, well, you know, that's just random.
Random.
Yeah, that led to about 1,100 arrests. Wow, what's that hit-to-miss ratio there? That's mostly for immigration violations and outstanding warrants. No one was charged with terrorism. Wow, way to snipe your people. But screeners failed to spot 16 travelers who were later linked to failed terrorist plots in New York and Virginia, jihadist training in Pakistan, and lethal attacks in Somalia, Afghanistan, and India. Wow, you phoned that one in, didn't you? The report didn't include the Nigerian accused of trying to light a bomb in his underwear on a Detroit-bound flight on Christmas Day. Really? Or the Pakistani-American who was pulled off a plane in New York on charges of trying to explode a car bomb in Times Square. And that guy was a moron. According to the reports, the Transportation Security Commission failed to validate the underlying science before deploying 3,000 behavior detection officers to 161 commercial airports, about a third of the nation's total. Wow, so you're not even like, wow, that's crazy. A scientific consensus does not exist on whether behavior detection principles can be reliably used for counterterrorism purposes. Paul Engman, the nation's foremost researcher in the nonverbal cues, indicates that deceit Paul Elkman, the nation's foremost researcher in the nonverbal cues that indicate deceit, disputes that claim and argues that more human observers with better training are needed. Dun, dun, dun. Of course, hey, we need more people in my field. He doubts that high-tech tools can do the job any better. Yes, clearly we need minds doing this. Minds that I can train and you can pay me to do this. I'm ambivalent about the malintent because it's a very high-risk endeavor, says Elkman, a professor emeritus at the UC San Francisco. The odds are against it, actually, working in the field. But if you're going to try it, they're doing the best job that can be done. Elkman dismisses Will's work, however. The research already shows that not every person intending harm shows micro-expressions. Thank you. So it's a waste of time. The other senior researchers and academics say both research teams appear to be on the right track. So they're spending money. You know, $40 million a pop to try to get this this stuff going. You know, to try to get this sort of, you know, facial recognition matched with tics and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're not careful, could sneeze, screw up your face, be mistaken for Osama bin Laden and shot. You know, I mean, who knows?
That's right. Smell something bad, you know, take a face. You're pulled over, go into the small room.
That's right. You get the rubber glove, make really good friends, learn how to play Cookie Monster. Not so good. You know,
the computer said you made a micro expression.
I did. And that's my micro expression of mental leakage. That's, what was that? What was that word there? That is some emotional leakage through micro expressions. It's like,
great emotional leakage.
Emotional leakage. He feels this guy didn't take his Prozium. He's obviously, you know, got to be a terrorist. Right. You know, this is like, you know, I wonder if they really have any idea what the fuck they're doing. Like, scientists are working around the clock to figure out how. Is this just a huge bait and switch? Are they just, you know, they got the spin doctor trying to come up with ways they can implement these totally draconian, like alien control mechanisms into our lives?
Either they have way too much time, or somebody's telling them, we gotta do something! Throw some money at it! Do anything!
I think they're just bidding on contracts. I think people come up with creative new ideas for bullshit contracts that they, they have to put up with. So, I guess they're just trying to get the money. Maybe that's it. That's what it is. Big shock. I think it's probably all about the money. But, you know, the stuff that's getting paid the money is the stuff that pretty much brings in psycho draconian measures. So
yes, is unfortunately
why, this is why I'm starting to get more and more, you know, really bummed out. Hey, you know, on a side note, you know what I got the other day, man? I got a gas mask the other day, a really nice one.
Oh yeah,
yeah, really where? Nice one. Yeah, it was Israeli actually. And if people know anything about gas masks, it's Israelis. They sure shit don't know anything about fast roping. I'll tell you that. Let's let's drop, you know, 12 guys on a ship filled with people wielding pipes who want to kick your ass. That's a really good plan. You know, anyway. You know, what did you think was going to happen when you dropped those soldiers onto this pro-Palestinian boat? You know, never mind who's right, who's wrong. You drop 15 commandos on a boat filled with like 200 people, all carrying, you know, these are all hardened guys ready to do the human shield thing. And what did you think was going to happen? Obviously, talk about trying to promote an international incident. Totally crazy.
Immediate surrender. That's definitely what would have happened.
Yeah, totally. Totally. You know, because Israel's been so reasonable in the past regarding this kind of thing. So, you know.
So what's so awesome about this specific gas mask? That it is from Israel?
Well, if Israelis know anything, they know how to, you know, function in a gas attack. So there's a bunch of things that really, really are nice about it. The field of vision is very good. You can see through it quite easily.
That's very important because you got a mask on your face. It's concealing, you know, your vision a little bit. But, you got to have a good vision.
Well, if you can't see it, it sucks. It also has, you know, a bunch of tight straps so you could fight with it on. And if somebody grabbed it, they couldn't just pull it off your face, which is really good. It's got a little speaker thing so you can talk through it without, losing your air. That's always positive.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And the price was right. I got it when I was down in the States. I got it for $30 from a little Army surplus store on the side of the road. And, comparable mask would be a couple hundred
bucks.
What's that?
Are gas masks a kind of a one-use thing, or can you use them and wash them out and use them over again?
Well, the mask itself is not the active ingredient. It's the filters, right? You use these charcoal filters
that
screw on the bottom, these little canisters, right? And all the NATO countries, and most countries, I believe, now have a standard for gas mask filters. So any filter from any country should fit any gas mask anywhere. It's one of those Geneva Convention things.
And that can't be very expensive. I mean, it's a filter, right?
Well, they're hard to get. You know, they're kind of,
okay.
You know, because you can't just duck down to local 7-Eleven and get yourself some tear gas filters. But
get some refills.
Well, and they usually have adrenaline needles in there, too, what's it called? It's basically the anti-neural toxin stuff where, you know, they did it in a rock and they hit themselves in the chest with it.
Well, it's the stuff that's going to be in the air that you're going to possibly being absorbed into your skin, I guess, because you're not breathing it in, but you're still exposed a little bit somewhere, right?
Well, let's say I'm in an apartment building. Okay, I think that people should have gas masks because let's say I'm in an apartment building. And because I don't make a lot of money, you know, there's... unsavory people who live in my building. And maybe these unsavory people who live in my building suddenly get gassed by police, you know? So I got to get out of this building because I don't want to be part of this, you know, crime that's going on right now. These people are fighting with cops. You know, they've gassed the building. Yep. So I'm going to put on my gas mask and get out of the building. Otherwise, I'm going to be a carpet bug, you know, really. So, I I'm just saying that... Go ahead.
It could be useful also in fires, because I've heard that most people die from fires from the smoke inhalation rather than being burnt alive. And this could be very helpful. I'm not sure because, you know, firefighters wear gas masks.
They wear scuba units. Yeah,
they wear
carbon fiber tanks, and they actually breathe their own air supply. There are some that come through. So that big face mask they're wearing is actually a self-contained breathing apparatus. Because if they go into the smoke, that shit is so caustic that it'll, like, melt things to their face and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I mean, in a pinch, if there's particulate matter in the air and it will kill
Better than nothing. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Especially if you're in, like, these places in Australia where you have, like, radioactive dust storms going on. I mean, pretty much if you can't breathe, it's a problem. You know, so something to check out. I was very impressed with it. And it seems that there's a lot of them floating around in the world. So, you know, it's a nice Israeli... I know it's Israeli because it was brand new in the bag, and I can't read a single word because it all looks like Tron lettering. So I'm like, well, that must be Israeli. Because, you know, they're into the Tron thing. So, yeah, I was happy with my gas mask purchase. Very happy.
Awesome. And $30. You can't beat that.
No, you can't. And it came with, like, a little comic and everything. And, you know, it had, like, a holder that looks like a face that holds another gas mask canister inside of it. It's really neat. So, yeah, it's you know, good fun. I put it on and tried to scare the wife, and she just looked at me because I went, I'm coming to the room. But, of course, her gas mask gets like, so it wasn't really that scary.
But, I'm your father.
Well, you know, and what do I want to do? Do I want to scare her? You know, the dog attacks me. I get all messed up by my dog, which wouldn't take too long, you know.
That's right.
The bus doesn't have to run over your leg very, very often for it to really do a lot of damage before he's like, hey, you're Sean. That's not cool. But, she just looked at me like I was insane, and, you know, then I went away feeling somewhat disheveled with my Darth Vader mask on. But I highly recommend it. I took some pictures, actually. I took some pictures. We went outside, took some shots. I was going to put them up as my Facebook pic, because I was wearing my ministry...
Oh, that'd be good.
My ministry t-shirt, like my ministry hoodie that says End of Days on it with the ministry logo. And I've got, like, the gas mask on, but I didn't have the filter on it, so I was kind of...
you know, hasn't been put up without the filter
it's
on.
Not quite complete. Yeah.
Yeah, but I got a really cool close up of it when I was wearing it, where there's like raindrops on it and everything. It's pretty neat. So anyway, Israeli gas masks, good to go. Now, of course, as we all know, the Germans, they're crazy about security. So we've got this fantastic story here about a German man fined for poor Wi-Fi security. Not using a network password cost him $164. The German courts have ruled that internet users are responsible for the security of their connections. In an unusual case, a musician took a home order to court because his Wi-Fi signal was used to illegally download music. The homeowner, I think this entire story is bullshit, by the way. The homeowner demonstrated that he was on holiday. He demonstrated, behold, here I am on holiday. Well, at the time, the download occurred, and the court cleared him of the copyright infringement, but said that the access point should have been password protected. Private users are obligated to check whether the wireless connection is adequately secure and the danger of unauthorized third parties abusing it to commit copyright violation. The court in Karlsruhe said, according to the BBC. So it's coming from the BBC, so it probably happened. And of course, you know, somebody in Karlsruhe there, I guess they, or Karlsruhe, whatever, some German.
I don't know.
Over there in the motherland there. So the British intelligent property barrister, David Harris, who's a dick, described the verdict as eccentric and unlikely another, you know. Actually, sorry, he's not a dick. He said it was an unlikely in other jurisdictions. Sorry there, Dave. Didn't know it was you. I thought you were different, David Harris. All right, so the thing is here is I'm thinking that that's fantastic. I think that this is the best story ever, and this encourages me to leave my connection open because I promise you that the musician was suing him for more than $164, right? This is like, you know, like an insurance premium. Oh, I got sued? Really? Wow, how much are they suing me for? Probably something like $50,000 or some bullshit claim like that. Well, for $164, my shit's insecure. Sorry.
There you go. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Well, I mean, in the United States, it's 100. It's 100. Yeah, in the United States, it's $150,000 per infringement up to.
What? Is that what they're charging?
Yeah.
$150,000.
That's what they can. That's what they can ask the court. $150,000 per song. They've never gone up that high, but they've gone up to, I think, $60,000 or $80,000 per song.
Are they just making this shit up as they go, or is there any like rhyme or reason to any of this stuff? Or is this just like lawyers dropping acid?
You cost us billions of dollars. Wow. Well, I mean, the musicians are starving. They don't make any money anymore. You know, there's no music being played on the radio anymore in the United States. It's a desolate wasteland of art down there now that the internet has been around for, you know, 20 years and everybody doesn't pay anything anymore.
Yeah, well,
nobody's inspired to make music.
To be fair, corporate music is kind of a desolate wasteland, totally devoid of art. you know, the music stations pretty much suck donkey cock. They're kind of crap, really.
Whenever I turn it on, it's all songs being sung by computers or something. It sounds very strange to me now. It's it's all perfectly in tone, and it sounds like computers. I'm not sure.
I could probably sit down next to the biggest pop star right now, and I'd be like, dude, you're totally sitting on my shit. And he'd be like, don't you know who I am? You know, like, seriously, it wouldn't. I'm not even part of that world anymore. It's so sad to see these people. And like, honestly, nobody gets into mainstream music. People come from mainstream music because their soul is dying. And they'd like to have something that, you know, touches them in some way. So, you know, I mean, I pretty much jumped off the wagon when Paris Hilton started to be taken seriously. And she was, like, given airtime during Super Bowl ads and shit like that. Like, come on! Really? God damn. K9 has always said that he'd love to get into, like, an octagon match with Paris Hilton, which would be great. And, like, you know, like Dan Severinsen, you know, versus
I'd
Paris
watch
Hilton.
That.
Oh, are you kidding? The problem is I'd have to feed Paris Hilton, like, copious amounts of, like, meth and smack. So that she wouldn't, like, you know, die the minute Dan Severn hit her. Like, he'd have to, you know, really sort of be fighting, like, this undead demon harpy. And he'd have to, like, you know, punch her in her face into her face cave. do the ninja scroll thing and headbutt her through the bottom of the octagon. That's what I'm hoping for. That would be a media event to behold. Never mind your wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, they'd make so much money.
Headbutt.
She'd be set
floor.
For life, you know.
Goldberg headbutt through the floor. Thank you. Thank you for calling. In thought crime news. Now, this is one that you may have covered. If you did not cover this, then I'm covering it. If you did cover it, I'm covering it again, because holy crap. Over 30 organizations want the Federal Communication Commission to open up a probe on hate speech and misinformation in media. Hate has developed as a profit model for syndicated radio and cable television programs masquerading as news, they wrote to the FCC earlier this month. As for the internet, it gives the illusion that news sources have increased. But in fact, there are fewer journalists employed now than ever before. That is so full of shit. Okay, so this is what they say. So they're full of it. They charge moreover on the internet. Speakers can hide. They can hide in the cloak of anonymity, which encourages them to lie, right? Because nobody was... why would they lie? Emboldened to say things they may not say in the public eye. Well, fuck knows
So many things wrong with those past couple sentences.
I know. I'm just going to try to get through this here.
To tear them up.
The groups who want this new procedure, including free press, the media access... The groups who want this new procedure, including... include the Free Press, the Media Access Project, Common Cause, Prometheus Radio Project, the League of the United Nation Latin American Citizens. Their statement filed in the Commission's future media proceeding comes in support of a petition to the agency submitted over a year ago by the National Hispanic Media Coalition. Well, that doesn't sound... You know, the National Hispanic Media... is there a National White Media Coalition? No? Where's the... why doesn't the National Hispanic Media Coalition take it up with the National Caucasian Media Coalition? And, Caucasian's like... Well, if they're Hispanic, I guess, it's just the white guys, you know, the white media, and they can, you know, we can have White History Month, and we'll have, like, you know, we cut with the racist shit. Hate speech!
But
go ahead. What do you got?
Because there's something inherently different with Hispanics, right? That's why they have to form their own group, because they're not the same as everyone else. What?
Yeah, you have to have the Black History Month, and you have to have, like, you know, special
equal but separate.
And,
we've got to celebrate the difference because of their color of skin.
I think we really need to get over this whole celebrate the difference thing. Like, we really do need to. You know what? All of our kids eventually
celebrate
are going
humanity.
To have sex, so let's just, you know, get used to the idea, and we're just going to move forward.
Exactly.
You know, that's it. All of our kids, I promise you, all of our kids are going to wind up having sex with each other. They don't care if you're Palestinian or Jews. They care if you're hot, okay? That's what they care about.
Yeah.
And, you know, and with enough raves, we can sort this out. But I'm here to tell you.
These labels are going to break down within 100 years, and nobody will be able to label anybody else in the world by these names, Hispanic, Black, White. Any of these names won't apply anymore. It won't make any sense anymore.
It's really, really ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hate speech against vulnerable groups, is pervasive in our media. It's not limited to a few isolated instances or any one media platform, the NHMC warned the FCC in 2009. Indeed, many large mainstream media corporations regularly air hate speech, thought crime, in its profile on the internet. Hate speech takes on various forms, from words advocating violence to those creating a climate of hate towards vulnerable groups. A climate of hate! It's the global hate warming. Fuck! What the fuck is a climate of hate? You want a climate of hate? That's going to be like the Gulf right about now. The Gulf right now, with all the oil that's spilling all over everything, killing everything inside. That would be a climate of hate. Thank you for calling.
I should join up with these people, because I'm really sick of hearing that I'm going to hell all the time, being an atheist, and I'm an oppressed minority in my own country.
Well,
so,
clearly,
you
know what? You probably would get on with these guys. You'd probably get on with these guys really well. No, you go in there as a joke, and they totally, you know, you'd probably, don't do that, Sam, just don't do that. The coalition has asked the agency to request public on comments of hate speech in the media and inquire into its extent. Explore the relationship between hate speech in the media and hate crimes. Look into options for counteracting or reducing the negative effects of such speech. Don't talk that way. In addition, the groups want the FCC to examine the prevalence of misinformation in the media, since misinformation creates a climate of prejudice. What the fuck?
Have to turn off all...
You know, if
news stations that are currently airing right now, if they're going to get rid of the misinformation in the media.
Yeah, this is just like this. What this is controlling your speech. That's what this is.
Yes.
This is a bizarre way. And it goes on talking about how, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Especially how they opened with saying that there's people on the internet hiding behind the cloak of anonymity. It sounds like they want to shut down blogs. Sounds like they want to shut down low-power radio stations. Anybody who doesn't have a lot of money behind them, they want to shut them down.
Well, they want to make sure that nobody can say bad things about anybody anymore, which is retarded. Okay, that's fucking retarded.
It hurt my feelings. Yeah. It hurt me.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. My heart bleeds purple panther piss. You should take a trip over to Africa and we'll talk about hurt, okay? You people don't know anything about anything, and you're on me about whatever, because if you're like, you know, that's the most racist shit I've ever seen in my life, the national Hispanic, whatever. Like, fuck you, man. Seriously, you want to sit here and talk about peace and stuff like that? Get the fuck over yourself, okay? Get over it. All right? Like, really? Honest to God. I never stole anybody's land. All right? I never built any fucking gas chambers. All right? I don't burn fucking crosses. You know, but if a white guy stands up and says, shit, says a fucking thing about this, he's declared an absolute racist prick. Israel does something wrong, you say something, instantly, bang, you're anti-Semitic. No, I just don't like Israelis shooting children. That's the problem here. It's not anti-Semitic so much as pro-children. You know, really, I think that that's probably a good plan here. And it just, it rolls on and on and on. And these people are using this political posturing and bullshit and, like, you know, race baiting and all the rest of us just to, you know, work like tasers to corral the feedlot cattle into stampeding in one fucking direction. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It happened what?
They're the ones putting up the divisions between people by declaring themselves a certain group that nobody can come in. They're the specialty. This is why I like the internet, because it breaks down these barriers, and they're complaining about anonymity when that actually enhances the ability to get together on the internet without these barriers, these preconceptions of color and what country you're from and what flag you rally under. If everybody's just a person, a human, you don't have to know what color their skin is to agree with them or disagree with them.
No, it's true. It's totally true. And it's bizarre that it's, you know, still going on in this day and age where there's still, you know, these imaginary red lines that we've drawn all over the planet that we call borders.
Yeah.
That supposedly, you know, you should be proud to be any one particular, you know, species or gender or whatever, and because you had no say in it.
Look at
right?
Second Life. There's like red dragons in here and people with tails, fluffy tails, and all manner of looking creatures that are in front of us. We don't know what they look like. Do we care? No, we don't care what they look like either. It's just people. We're just talking. It's great.
Well, yeah, it's a really good idea. But of course, you know, you're never going to motivate people with, you know, love and cuddliness, right? We gotta whip them into frenzies
right.
And say they're going to turn against you because you're Hispanic or whatever the fuck it is. This is ridiculous. This is totally stupid. And you know what the really sad thing is I can see them, you know, these absolute pinheads running with this and probably getting some airtime, which is going to be really shitty. Now, I have a new story here. You ready for this one? This is great. This is some shit right here. This is brand new. This is fresh out today. Border War News. Everyone knows I'm happy about Border War News. I like to cover as much Border War News as I can. Because it's like there's this huge elephant in the room that nobody's talking about with these massive drug gangs and cartels across the border. Okay?
Yep.
So, yep. Here we go. In Border War News, this is from K9. He got me this one. An alleged plot by a Mexican drug cartel to blow up a dam along the Texas border and unleash billions of gallons of water to region with millions of civilians sent American police, federal agents, and disaster officials secretly scrambling last month to thwart such an attack, authorities confirmed Wednesdays. Now, we had a truck that a retard filled up with propane tanks and he botched that shit up in Times Square. Okay? That was headline news all over the world. Okay? That was like the dominant feature. They're, I mean, you know, they're trying to take the everybody.
Weeks.
Oh, you can't. They're still talking about it. It's in news stories that I'm covering today. But, you know, they're not talking about the Gulf oil spill, of course, because they want to take people's minds off that. They're even running news stories now about the oil spill saying, don't think about it because it'll depress you. No shit. I'm hearing news stories on the radio on News 1130 saying that people are worried about, you know, whether or not, you know, you should try to limit your exposure to it. I'm like, really? Honest to God, really? You, like, how much were you paid to say that? Don't think about it. It'll hurt you. Fuck you, dude. Seriously? Imagine that shit in World War II. Try not to think about the Nazis killing all the Jews. It'll just upset you. You know, what? No! That's right. Fucking wrong. Whether or not the cartel, which is known to have stolen bulk quantities of gunpowder and dynamite, would have taken down the 5-mile-long Falcon Dam may never be known since the attack never came to pass. It may have been derailed, or by a stepped-up president by the Mexican military, who was acting on part of intelligence from the U.S. government, sources said. The warning, which swings officials into action, was based on what the federal government contends were a series of reliable sources and prompted the Department of Homeland Security to sound the alarm to first responders along the South Texas-Mexico border. Mexico's Zeta cartel was planning to destroy the dam, not to terrorize civilians, but to get back at its rival and former ally, the Gulf cartel, which controls smuggling routes from the reservoir of the Gulf of Mexico, said Zapata County Sheriff Siegfried Gonzalez, head of the Southwest Border Sheriff's Coalition, as did others familiar with the alleged plot. But in the process, massive amounts of agricultural land would stand to be flooded, as well as significant parts of a region where about 4 million people live with both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. The dam, along with the Rio Grande, was finished in 1954 as part of a joint U.S.-Mexico project to collect water for flood control, hydroelectric power, and water for drinking and agriculture. Gonzalez's agency was among many that responded, as did the U.S. Border Patrol, the Texas Department of Public Safety, and even game wardens, who put out more boats on the water. Citing security concern, neither Homeland Security nor DPS commented. We trust that DPS and their federal and law enforcement partners are constantly collecting intelligence and monitoring all threats to Texas and taking the appropriate action to protect our civilians from those who would do us harm. You know, if you got guys and you got solid intel that they're going to blow up a dam and kill like 4 million people, wouldn't you say that that's like a weapon of mass destruction? Really? Like, wouldn't that qualify as a weapon of mass destruction, honestly? You know, but you
shouldn't
know.
Shouldn't this be like of every newspaper and every television station everywhere that somebody is going to blow up a dam and kill hundreds of thousands of people?
Millions of people. 4 million people. Okay. And if it's not going to kill them, it's sure as shit going to make them walk funny. Okay, like, it's not going to be good on them, okay? So, you know, but of course, we don't know about this. We don't know about this. We didn't hear about this whole plan. This was released, like, last Wednesday or whatever. But some asshole with barbecue supplies in his car? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's the guy we're worried about. Never mind. Never mind these massive drug cartels who are starting to attack the Mexican army across the border. Never mind the fact that police commissioners are getting cut up into little pieces and left on the doorsteps of their own police stations. Never mind that.
Those aren't important people. There's a lot of advertising at stake at New York Times Square. All those buildings with those flashy ads that we saw could have been hurt. Well, I mean, this Mexican border. I mean, who cares about them?
That's right. There's that whole angle. And also, if you talk about that, you have to do something about it, right? Like, you'd have to do something, wouldn't you? I mean, with the guy who had his van there with his propane supplies, well, we can catch him. We'll parade him around for a while, and then we'll kill him. And then, but these Mexican thing, well, hey, you know. Nobody's given me
a
solid answer.
That's not our problem.
Yeah, nobody's given me a solid answer why the Hells Angels haven't been declared a terrorist agency yet. Nobody's given me a solid answer on that. International, you know, fits all the bills. If you guys are so serious about stopping terrorism, why don't you start taking out organized crime? Because where the fuck do you suppose these terrorists are getting their money from? Where do you suppose? I don't know. Just a thought.
I think they don't go after them because it's the devil they know, rather than, you know, another group popping up. They have ties. They can kind of cooperate with them. They do some small crimes here and there, but, you know, nothing big. Everyone gets paid. It's all good.
Yeah. No, I think that I think honestly that, you know, what we should do is we should probably just legalize weed and tax it. That would probably solve.
Oh, no, no.
No, I really think that's a good idea. I'm starting to think more and more that that's a good idea, actually, because, first of all the money problems are gone. And you take away billions of dollars. Billions and billions of Carl Sagan amounts of money from the drug cartels. Okay?
Overnight. Gone.
Bang!
No supply for money.
With the stroke of my pen, I have stopped the fucking drug war. Look at that.
They're poor.
Awesome.
They have no thing to... Yep.
And now that they're unstable, I'm going to get the U.S. Army Rangers, because why not? We don't have the Posse Comitatus Act. You know, I'm just going to go get the U.S. Army Rangers to start nailing down the meth labs and the really hard drugs that are killing kids. You know? There we go. Okay, awesome sauce. And, we'll just carry on like that for a while. That should be good,
I hope that California takes the first step when they vote in, I believe, November to legalize marijuana.
Won't happen.
You don't think so?
Nope. No fucking chance. No chance. No fucking chance.
Too much propaganda for the last 70 years.
No, dude, it's got nothing to do with propaganda. Propaganda's a huge distraction. There's going to be organized crime. We'll lose too much money. Follow the money. Maybe there'll be people greedy enough on the right side of the law who might be able to make that happen. But
the tax money, they can make so much tax money. They should be lobbying to get this legalized.
Right, right. So, you know, maybe the greed factor might win out.
Hopefully.
I mean, you can always bank on greed. But unfortunately, I think that the people who are in power currently, who, you know, are making big money already on the sale of illegal substances, I think that they will do whatever it takes to prevent one of their major sources of revenue from being made legal and taken away.
Well, I mean, if they're worried about losing all the money that they get each year for the drug war that all the police are kicking indoors, they can easily use all those police officers to go after other people. There's no end to crime that's still happening.
Oh, no, I'm worried about the crime bosses. The crime bosses don't want it legalized. They're going to pay off whoever they need to keep it illegal. The crime bosses families are going to be the ones keeping it illegal. Okay? Like, they're not interested in anything becoming legal. Fuck that. Okay? They're going to, seriously, that's what I think.
Business.
That is their business. That's like billions of dollars. They legalize that, they're fucked, okay? They'll do whatever it takes to keep that shit illegal. But I honestly, I don't think there's any way California's going to legalize that. I don't think so. I mean, if I hope I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'm just being indignant on purpose in hopes that the universe gives me a spanking and shows me that it happens, and I will cry for joy.
Never in a million years will it ever happen.
Never happen. Right. Yeah. But, yeah, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Please. Please. Prove me wrong.
Please.
Now, in Bigger Brother news, sent in by Nephilim, thank you very much, students in Manchester are having their thumbprints digitally transformed into electronic codes, which can be recognized by a computer program. Under the scheme, pupils swipe a barcode inside the book they want to borrow and then press their thumb into a scanner to authorize the loan. Books are returned in the same way. The scheme is being tailed along junior classes at the High Lane Primary in Whitefieldbury, Greater Manchester. Officials confirmed it is due to extend it to all pupils at the school, one of the area's largest primary schools with 453 pupils aged 4 to 11. Get it to the kids! Get it to the kids! We'll get them with library books! Kids gotta check out library books! We'll get them in the libraries! This is so sick. School authorization defended the scheme on Thursday and moved to reassure parents that the voluntary system is heavily encrypted or coded so that no images of fingerprints would be stored. If they're not stored...
Uncrackable.
If they're stored, if they're not stored, how do you know which kid has got the book? I'm just wondering. But critics say they're appalled at the system developed by Microsoft and is also being trialed in other parts of the country. This is quite clearly appalling, said Phil Booth, the national coordinator for Number 2 ID, a privacy campaign group. For such a trivial issue as taking out of library books and the taking of fingerprints is way over the top and wrong. It conditions children to hand over sensitive personal information. Bing! In one. Right there. Get them used to it there. Condition them early, condition them often, and that's what you'll get. He added, The money for such a system could be spent on actual school resources. How about some more books for the library instead? This needs to be rolled back or stopped. I would argue there's no justification for such a scheme. And, of course, he would be right. There is clearly no possible justification for this. But Leslie Isherwood...
Why are they rolling...
Go ahead.
Why are they rolling this in? Is there a plethora of library books being stolen? Is there somebody lobbying to sell their software and hardware all of a sudden? What's wrong with the system that's been in place for the last hundreds of years for checking out books? What is the motive behind doing this? I just don't get this.
No, me neither. But Leslie Isherwood, the school headmaster, defended the system, saying it was introduced as a more efficient way of books being borrowed from the recently renovated library. She confirmed it would be extended to all pupils, adding parents would be given the choice to opt in or out. Oh, good. We have researched this scheme thoroughly. It's a biometric recognition system, and no image of a fingerprint is ever stored. It's a voluntary system. Hmm. The thumbprint... Well, thank you, while all photocopiers have hard drives in them. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are you sure about that? The thumbprint creates a mathematical template. All parents have been written to, have been told what the system is about. Yeah, I'm sure they're real interested in that. We hold a lot of information about children because we are a school. This is no different. All pupils' details are erased when they leave the school. It comes after schemes to fingerprint children as part of a payment in their school dinners was introduced around the country. So they're going to use fingerprinting to track, you know, your kids. Hey, didn't go through this round, but don't you worry. Now,
doesn't make any sense. Like, I went to the library the other day. I saw people checking out their own books. All they did was scan their library card and then scan the books and walk out the door. There's no need for any fingerprints to come into play here. What is the need for these fingerprints going in? Once your biometric information is out, it's over. It's gone. You can't change your fingerprints unless you're going to take an iron to them or something and completely wipe them off.
Yeah. Who would do that? That'd be crazy. Anyway, now, this story is going to make you shit a brick, Sim. Okay, now, I know you don't like it when I do military stories, but this one is just way too hot to handle. And this one got sent to me by Hoax, okay? In mercenary news, this one I cannot believe. A German security company has sealed a deal with a Somali warlord that politicians say violates the UN sanctions. According to the German TV, more than 100 former Bundeswehr soldiers will fight as mercenaries in Somalia. This is some heavy shit right here. This is Somali warlords using mercs. Former Bundeswehr soldiers are to fight as mercenaries in the civil war in Somalia, according to German public TV station NDR. Asgard German Security Group, a company based in Telcht near Münster in northwestern Germany, has cinched a deal with Somali opposition political Galadod Abner Aman Darman, who wants to topple the internationally recognized transitional federal government in Somalia. So, hi, I'm a warlord. I want to bring down the government. I'm hiring external German military to do this. Security expert warned that the Somali warlord backed the highly trained Western soldiers could shift the fragile political balance in the East African country and spark a bloodbath. If a German company now trains and supports a Somali warring faction, then it is surely against the interests of the German government. Annette Werber from the German Institute for International Security Affairs told NDR. Several German lawmakers have criticized Asgard's proposed military involvement in Africa. The contract includes wide-ranging tasks from areas of competence, from strategic planning to security implementation, all measures that are necessary to restore peace and stability, Asgard said in a press release. The company also provides police and military training and logistics. Thomas Kattgener, Asgard's managing director and former master sergeant in the Bundeswehr, told NDR that the Somali project involving providing armed protection for military buildings and convoys in high-risk country. In a statement, Asgard said it would not act against the interests of the Federal Republic of Germany and would never get into a conflict situation with German armed forces. Which, why the hell would German armed forces be in Somalia? I don't know, but anyway. If worse comes to worse, that a patrol or convoy is attacked, the team will take appropriate action. So, essentially, they're going full-on desert war mercs. 99% of the personnel are recorded from Germany. Is the first contingent was reportedly already on its way to Somalia. Already on their way. The Asgard deployment would potentially put German ex-soldiers in direct conflict with the TFG's only protective force, the African Union mission to Somalia, AMISOM, backed by the United Nations. So, we got the UN versus German soldiers who are paid a lot more and have all good HK gear versus the United Nations who couldn't get laid in a whorehouse, okay? And this is at a conference in Brussels a year ago. The international community pledged $213 million to the besieged TFG and AMISOM. The deal between Asgard and Darman, a member of the powerful Highwise clan of Somalia, is especially explosive because the European Union has been training Somali security forces in the interim government in Uganda, which is another really nice place. 13 Bundeswehr soldiers are also participating in the European Union training mission in Somalia. Darman told NDR that German mercenaries would be involved in military combat with his militia against pirates, radical Islamists, and terrorists. The government, installed by the international community, does not have the backing from the company's population, says Darman. Darman is currently seeking international support for his bid to become the president of Somalia. So what we got here is we got a Somali dude who claims that he's supposed to be in charge, who's now bringing in German mercs. Shit is going to get tight in Somalia. So how about that for an advancing of, escalation of events in the old realm of darkness there. So I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll have to see how that that story evolves.
Crazy. I mean, these are they're going against the established or whatever government that's in Somalia right now. I didn't even think they had a government there.
They kind of don't. It sort of sucks. the whole thing is just
government with no power.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's not very good. So I mean, yeah, I guess why not, right? I mean, that's what it is. If you got the cash, you know, what's to stop you from doing that? Now,
I mean, the government could have hired them, I guess, yeah, but they don't have money.
Broke. They're broke. What my question is, where's this Somali warlord guy getting his cash to hire these guys? That's what I want to know. I want to know where they're getting the money from, because no one's talking about that. Is it from, you know, trafficking? Is it slaves? Is it drugs? What are they making money with here?
Yeah.
Now, of course, this is one of these, in Cyberpunk Kit, this is really quite a Cyberpunk story. We're talking about floating castles, and by floating, I mean on the water. What happens when Americans plunder America and leave it broken, destitute, and seething mad? Where do these fabulously wealthy Americans go with their loot? If America isn't safe, secure, even desirable place to spend their riches, what if they lose faith in their gated communities? Because those plush gated communities are surrounded by millions of pissed off Americans stripped of their entitlements who now want in. We finally have the answer, and you're not going to like it. A new fleet, a new fleet of castles that floats in the ocean. The super wealthy are already building their first floating castle, a $1 billion-plus luxury liner that offers permanent multi-million-dollar housing with the best protection of all, moats made of oceans keeping land-based Americans they've plundered at a safe distance. The first such floating castle has been christened the Utopia. A South Korean firm, Samsung, has been contracted to build the $1.1 billion ship due to be launched in 2013. Already, orders are coming in to buy one of Utopia's 200 or so mansions for sale, which range in price from about $4 million for the smallest condos, over $26 million for a 6,600-square-foot estate. The largest mansion is a whopping 40,000 square feet and sells for $160 million. The first of its kind to offer permanent housing to units to buy, there will be plenty on board for the Utopia for the global elite inhabitants to keep themselves entertained. An outdoor movie theater, a casino, miniature golf course, nightclubs, restaurants, shops, water park for the elite's hares, and at nearly 1,000 feet, the Utopia is almost as long as a nuclear-powered Nimitz-class aircraft carrier. So, we got these floating cities. Very, very cyberpunk. I like it. You know,
very cyberpunk.
Now, do you have a problem with this? Because I'm not really having a problem with it. Really?
I don't see a problem. What's the downside? They have money that can go buy an island, a fabricated island.
Yeah, I guess, but you know, it's what's happening. So I guess the guy who wrote this paper, he's pretty like, they took our jobs. They're pretty, you know, he's one of those kind of guys. So
he's pissed off about why they have so much money, not that they can build.
Took our jobs. That's what he's pissed off about. He's one of those.
I mean, everybody can argue the ethics until they're blue in the face, but these people have the money and they're building it.
Yeah, and if I had the money and you wanted to tell me I couldn't go build a ship, I'd tell you to go eat a bag of dicks. In your daily hacks today, we got a couple of good ones that you're going to want to use because, you know, we got to keep things secure. Off the record OTR messaging brought in by Dark Harmonix. Very good piece of software, actually. Off the record OTR messaging allows you to have private conversations over instant messaging by providing encryption. No one else can read your instant messages. Authentication, you're assured to have a correspondent who you think it is. Deniability, the message you send does not have digital signatures that are checkable by a third party. Anyone can forge messages after a conversation to make them look like they came from you. However, during the conversation, your correspondent is assured the messages he sees are authentic and unmodified. Perfect forward security. If you lose control of your private keys, no previous conversation is compromised. So that's one piece of kit that got sent in, and that one was sent in by Dark Harmonix. And a secondary piece to go with this is a KB SSL Enforcer, which got sent in by Citentical, which is automatic security and you browse encrypted. It features automatically detects if a site supports SSL and redirects you to it. Flexible options for auto-writing the auto-detection, caches which sites support SSL, respects incognito mode, and it's open source. So both of these programs are interesting in keeping your security well secure, which is, you know, important in this day.
Very
age.
Important.
And we're not going to be having a rant meet, are we, next week?
Not in Vancouver.
No, we're going to the super secret.
The people of Vancouver can still have the rant meet. We just won't be there.
That's right. So if you want to go and do that, that would be cool. Even if you're the only guy who shows, let us know that you were there. Or you could just, everyone could write in and say that they were there because we have no way of verifying that.
And pretend.
Well, you could take photos, I guess. That'd be the, you know, yeah, the whole photo thing, which would be...
One of those funky photos you hold out your hand and take a picture of yourself.
That's right. Where you're always like, whoa, it looks like you're falling backwards. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this show, please distribute the show. But if you can donate, please do so by heading over to the Rant Media site. Go buy some stuff. We got lots of stuff you can buy.
Yeah.
Go buy some DVDs.
Yep.
Bang for the buck, best value on the web, hands down.
Thinking of getting some more stickers done pretty soon, so
sexy
that'll be
stickers
cool.
Are good stickers. We like stickers.
Yes,
we really, really like stickers here. So you know, stickers are good. You know, something, something we can put on cars, something we can use to spread the message a little bit. Kind of, you know, artistic spamming. I suppose one way of putting it.
That's right.
And I want to thank the Army of their Flying Monkeys and their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. NEWSREAL. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some side tracks. But wait for it. Descent sent me an awesome track from which they used in Fallout 3, which is called Way Back Home by Bob Crosby. It's really awesome. It totally sounds like some 1950s
cool
nuclear family, kind of post-apocalyptic, After Now-y sort of song. Very, very Fallout. So, Way Back Home, Bob Crosby, check it out. Simi, have you got anything else going on that I need to know about that's super hot and sexy?
No, nothing too exciting right now.
Nothing too exciting right now? Well, that's fine, because I'm sure we will find more stories as the days go forward.
Well, as soon as the film gets into the theaters and around the world, I'll definitely let everybody know so they can check out the After Now animation.
Yes, lots of people interested in the After Now short film. Lots of people interested in that. So definitely something you want to check out. And if you do want to pick up something, definitely pick out the SKTFM or the Sean Kennedy TV show that we did. What's it called? The Sean Kennedy Show? What is that?
SKTFM TV.
And that
the
has
double been... DVD set. It has the trip down to the West Coast, trip to New York. It has the 10th anniversary stuff. It has Burning Man stuff. Oh my God, it's got everything.
What's the one with the TV shows on it?
That is not available because it's about 40 or 50 hours worth of video.
Oh, okay.
And it's pretty unreasonable to put on a DVD set. I was thinking of making a best of DVD set, so that might happen, but it's impossible for anybody to reasonably buy it. I don't think anybody shell out the cash for that many DVDs.
Oh. Oh, well, I don't know.
It is available for download, so they can download the shows.
Okay.
I was thinking of making, like, the construction. I have some video that I'm working on for the construction of the Sean Blue set and all the behind the scenes, and then make a best of DVD and kind of package it that way. And then maybe somebody might want it.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, you know, I have faith in your abilities. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
The roads are the dustiest, the winds are the gustiest, the gates are the rustiest, the pies are the crustiest, the songs the lustiest, the friends the trustiest, way back home.
Back home.
The trees are the sappiest, the days are the nappiest, the dogs are the yappiest, the kids are the scrappiest, the jokes the snappiest, the folks the happiest, way back home. Don't know why I left the homestead, I really must confess. I'm a weary exile, singing my song of loneliness. The grass is the springiest, the bees are the stingiest, the birds are the wingiest, the bells are the ringiest, the heart's the singiest, the arms the clingiest, way back home.
What about the sun?
The sun's the blaziest,
and the
fields the daisiest,
and the
cows the graziest,
and the
help's the laziest, the boys
are the wittiest,
the girls
are the prettiest,
way back home.
The pigs are the snootiest, the owls are the hootiest,
the plants the fruitiest, stars the shootiest,
the grin's the funniest,
the smile's the sunniest, way back home. Don't know why I left the homestead, I really must confess. I'm a weary exile, singing my song of loneliness. The food is the spreadiest, the wine is the headiest, the pals are the readiest, the gals are the steadiest, the love the liveliest, the life the loveliest, way back, way back, way back.